Did you get enough sleep tonight? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Roxy, I didn't get enough sleep last night. Did you get enough sleep last night?
Well, I like the way that you asked it was, did you get enough sleep tonight? As in, like, in the future.
In the future. Oh. Tense was wrong. I messed up tense.
I really thought about it, like, did I get enough sleep tonight? Mm-hmm. Does he know? He already knows.
I see the future. No, I woke up too early this morning, and then I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people that once I'm awake, it's hard to rev back down and get back into the sleep time. And so I've been running since about 4 a.m. as of this recording.
I did the opposite as you, because last night they decided to drop a whole new season of Sex Education on Netflix. And Big Brother had a 2-hour episode.
What?
And Morning Show dropped their new episode. So all of that took place in a post-midnight manner watching for me.
Wait, you didn't watch all of Sex Education?
No. Okay. I'm on episode 3.
Of 3 of?
10.
We'll commit to it. It's 10 episodes.
No, I can tell you for sure. It's 8. It's 8.
I got
3 of 8. I'm on 3 of 8. For season 3. And listen, I really am liking that show, but that's for a different conversation. I'm just saying that's 3 hours on that.
Yeah, I was going to say. And then the you said Big Brother, right?
Yeah.
And then Morning Show?
Yeah.
All after midnight?
And Big Brother was 2 hours. So is Sex Education, though, I think is only half a...
I hope for your sake.
No, it's an hour. Oh, it's an hour. God. Yeah, it's a full hour. I was like, how long was I up? But then I got to sleep in until like 8:45. So okay. I got 4 more hours than you on the other end.
All right.
That's how that works, TJ.
Listen, that's just how math works.
That's math.
And that's what we talk about on this show is we answer your math questions. No, we don't. We talk about movies, TV shows, comic books. And as you've heard us talking right now, my name is DJ Wooldridge, and with me as always is Roxy Stryer.
That's true, DJ.
That is true. And if you want to have this full discussion, you're so enthralled right now. You're like, oh my God, I want the full 2-hour episode. I don't want just the normal podcast episode. That's for losers. I want the full thing. You should go to patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Not only do you get the full discussion, you get you can watch this live, and you can also, even if you want, there's a tier where you get to Skype with me once a month, and I get to tell you all the things that I don't say on air because I don't want to get in trouble. You think, oh, DJ, the opinionated. You don't even know the opinions I keep to myself. So
that should be on a pin.
Yeah,
you don't even know the opinions that I keep to myself.
Yeah, there's so many things that people say online, and that you like. You could have just kept that to yourself. That could have just been a you thing. But anyway, we also you can also review this show on iTunes 5 stars, please and thank you, because that gets us in front of more eyeballs. That gets us more listeners. So please give us that 5-star review. And if you've already done it, you can go do it again. And on Spotify, every week we ask you a question. And last week's question was, are you watching Titans this season? If so, what's been your favorite moment? If not, why not? And Stormy Wood says, I haven't watched Titans. For me, the promotional never grabbed my interest. Jasha Wazalewski said, I am watching Titans, although I feel like this might be the last season for me. Superboy and Beast Boy have been my favorites, but I enjoy everything from Barbara Gordon so far. And Jalaki, Titans is mediocre. It is just a Bat-Fam show that underutilized actual Titans characters. So mixed at best thoughts on Titans as a show. That's what we were talking about last week. This week, thanks to the Emmys, we're going to talk about the Emmys briefly, although full disclosure, we are recording this prior to them happening. So even though we know in the future who won the things, in the past times, we don't know. So,
did you sleep tonight?
Exactly.
The logic.
Boom. Yeah. So just a lot of timey-wimey stuff going on the show today. So we're going to use that as a springboard to talk about our favorite shows of 2021 so far. And also, while we're doing full disclosure, Roxy, we can talk about this when we're talking about it. I had a hard time remembering what shows happened this year and what shows happened last year.
So I had to Google every single one of them. And what made it incredibly difficult, DJ, is that as we're talking about the Emmy shows, not all those Emmy shows are 2021 shows.
Yeah, almost all of them were like, oh no, WandaVision's 2021. Yeah, that was confusing too.
So, and then I'm like, wait a second. Can I talk about this? Because it could be nominated for the Emmy season. Mm-hmm. Then I guess I'll talk about that in Emmy category. So I have like three categories on my lists of like 2021, 2020 with Emmys, mid-season right now could possibly make list of 2021, like that.
Yes.
Like that, DJ.
Yeah, we've got brackets, play at home. We're going to send the play at home game. Keep an eye on your mailbox. So that's our main topic today. We're going to talk about our favorite shows of 2021. But before we do that, as always, we would like to get into what we are into this week. Roxy, let us start with you. Let's talk about Schmageddon. I'm kidding. It's Schmigadoon.
Oh, God, DJ. Apple Plus is knocking it out of the park for me right now. Did you check, DJ?
I checked, and I will have to pay for it. And I will at some point to try all the things, but I'm not. Right now, I'm a little tapped on my streaming options.
Yeah, I just thought it might be free.
And to be honest, maybe it was, and I accidentally, because I did rent a movie from there a couple months ago, and maybe I like burned out my window.
Triggered something? Yeah. So, okay. So you guys know I love Ted Lasso. I love The Morning Show. And then what was the show? Oh, and then I ended up loving Mythic Quest.
Yes.
So I just decided, okay, Apple TV, you got me. You've got me. I'm going to give another one a go. And a couple of you guys at home had been saying this word that I never really paid attention to, that I was like, Schmigadoon, okay. Yeah. And then I saw it pop up on there and I was like, they have my trust right now. I'm just going to keep the ride going. Mm-hmm. So I didn't look into what Schmigadoon is at all. I just hit play.
Yes.
Do you know anything about this show?
I know what I looked up this morning. I know, obviously, Keegan-Michael Key and Cecily Strong. And I feel like it has to be in some way a reference homage to Brigadoon, classic musical.
That's what my figure was, it had that something Brigadoon-y, but I didn't know what. The premise of the show is that Keegan-Michael Key and Cecily Strong are dating, and they go on this like couples retreat because they're trying to get that spark back. They've been together for a few years, and they gotta get the spark, and they find themselves in it almost like Wizard of Oz-esque in a land that they are unfamiliar with, called Schmigadoon, which is a 1940s musical. So they end up in this musical, but like as if they were you and me.
Yes.
And they're like, what the is going on?
Yeah.
It's six episodes.
Okay.
It is so short. I would cut off my arm for there to be more episodes of this. This show is so out of the box weird. By the way, also just looking at this, Fred Armisen, Dove Cameron, if you're one of the younger liking people.
She was also Chenoweth on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and she's supposed to be one of the Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls. Oh. Kristen Chenoweth, Alan Cumming, Jane Krakowski, Martin Short is in this. Yeah, it's just like the cast is absurdly ridiculous. The show is an acid trip. In the best way. You're watching it. There's great music in it, but also it's so funny. It's so funny. Like, laugh out loud funny. Can't believe what I'm watching funny. Really, really raunchy, bizarro, excellently done. Haven't seen anything like this ever. And I can't recommend this show enough if you're looking for something different. Like, if you like funny, if you like musicals, if these actors sound cool to you, and if you're like, oh, I have 3 hours of my life to spare, because I think each of the episodes is, I actually don't even remember how long the episodes were, like 45 minutes. I think they kind of did their own thing. Somebody in the chat, if you guys have seen it, tell me. This is the show. This is like, holy crap, the show.
Well, I do like comedies. I do like musicals. It does sound like a good setup for a comedy. Also, and obviously, this isn't what they did. Also, it could be a pretty good setup for a horror movie.
Totally.
In the chat, we have Kayla Marie. If you enjoy Golden Age musicals, Schmigadoon is a must. Leonard Kim says, we deserve more episodes. And the titular role, going back to the original thing, or the previous thing we were talking about, meant to watch Always Be My Maybe, but also forgot about it.
I wouldn't say, if I'm talking about those two things, Always Be My Maybe is such a great casual, throw it on the background if you're not feeling like really committing to anything movie.
Yes.
Schmigadoon is like, stop what you're doing, go watch this effing show.
Cool.
But if it doesn't, this is what I have been telling people about it, because people have been, I tweeted out that it's great and people have been asking me. If it doesn't sound good to you, it's not going to be good to you. Like, if you're like, but I don't like comedies and musicals and like,
I don't like joy. Well, it's like, oh, well, then maybe not for you.
Right. But some people are like, well, I hate musical. I hate when people break out into song. Well, then you shouldn't watch a musical show. Yes. Like, that's what's happening in it. So if you hear the premise of this and you're like, that doesn't sound good, but maybe I'll give it a shot, you're not going to like it. If you hear the premise and you're like, huh, okay, then you're probably going to like it.
Sounds like something I will enjoy. Does Keegan-Michael Key sing?
Don't want to answer that.
Okay. Fair
That's
enough.
That's one of the big questions of the show is, will he sing?
Love it. Cool. Very excited about that. Now, before we get into what I am into this week, let's cut to a little bit of an ad break. Go be a good consumer and listen to our ads. Gosh dang it.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back from ads, and I should mention, if you would like to listen to this show or watch it live without ads, you can, of course, do that at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. And if you're just listening to the podcast, conversations you missed out on are, we talked about the Hawkeye trailer, I talked about my thoughts on the new HBO Max movie Malignant, a whole bunch of other stuff that you don't get to hear as part of the normal podcast. That is part of our 2-hour full OSA show that happens live every Friday morning, and you can participate in that or listen to the audio of it later at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Don't miss out. But for what I am into this week, I would like to talk about the FX adaptation of Why the Last Man, the hit comic series by Brian K. Vaughan and Pia Guerra. I hope I pronounced that right. They've finally done it after years, Roxy. They tried to make movie adaptations. They tried to make shows. Finally, the first three episodes have dropped on FX, and it is fine. It's fine. It's.
I'm going to watch this, but I'm hearing exactly what you're saying from everybody that is a diehard fan. Everybody's saying this show is okay.
It's completely fine. Let me tell you the things that I think are effective about it. And before I even do that, clarification, I'm not like a huge, I've read bits and pieces of Why the Last Man over the years. After watching the first few episodes, I went back and I've read the first volume. I'm in the middle of the second volume. So I kind of went into this more or less fresh, other than knowing that just the, not, the show's in a tough position because not only is it trying to live up to a beloved graphic novel, a beloved source material, but also the history of the amount of failed adaptation. Suddenly, now you have to live up to all the failures that happened before, just like that Don Quixote movie that Terry Gilliam was trying to make forever and ever. And then it finally comes out. And it's like, oh, this is fine. It doesn't live up to the legend of trying to get there to make it. So that's tough. And it makes me really worried about the Sandman Netflix show. Cause it's like, again, not only do you have the source material to work against, but the history of all the failed attempts to make this happen. Mm-hmm. Are you going to live up to all that? And the honest answer for most adaptations is no, like it's just not, you're not. So the synopsis is set in a post-apocalyptic world. Y is the last surviving male human on a planet. His name's Yorick. I don't know why the synopsis called him Y. And it's based on the comic series Y, the Last Man. The dude's name's Yorick. It's not Y. Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 71% and an audience score of 81%. And it's starring Diane Lane, Ashley Romans, Ben Schnetzer, and Olivia Thirlby. And if you're a fan of comic adaptations like me, you'll remember Olivia Thirlby from the Dread movie, which is amazing. And if you haven't seen it, I cannot recommend it enough. It is so freaking good. So the interest, I think the difficulty here is, like the premise said, basically everything with a Y chromosome, every living organism with a Y chromosome on the planet dies. Boom. Except for Yorick. So as far as the men department go, you're left with Yorick and any trans men, and that's basically it. The things that are really cool about the show is that because of that, all of your leads, besides Yorick, are women. And so it's unique to have a prestige drama like this. I haven't watched Handmaid's Tale. I'd imagine it's more similar. But you think about stuff like Walking Dead. You think about prestige dramas, even though there are female characters and there may be amazing female characters, they're they're male dominated. This, right, by the very nature of the premise, is a female dominated show. A lot of the characters making decisions, a lot of the characters running things are women. And from reading the comic and watching this, it appears Yorick is even made less of a central character than he was in the comic, which I think is a perfectly solid choice for this material. So that's really cool. The other thing that I think this improves upon the comic is that it engages more with the idea of trans men being a thing. The comic mentions it, but it's an early 2000s comic. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's super fucking dated. The way it talks about it is super dated. In the comic's defense, it's characters talking about it. And I do think it is true of the characters in how they would talk about it in that time, but it's rough. Like reading it in 2020, it's rough. So I think it's really cool the way the show engages with that and appears to be poised to continue to engage with that in an interesting way. And so I think all that is great. The problem is that for me is that this is a very unique type. We've got a lot of apocalypse fiction. This type of apocalypse is very distinct. All the men gone. Everything with a Y chromosome gone. The way they depict it is just like any old apocalypse. It's just, other than the cast being mostly women, the way everybody is handling everything is just generic apocalypse stuff, to the point where, like, and I think that determines, that's to the detriment of the show, because I think what would make it pop is the specificity of it. So there's a scene, Diane Lane's character is de facto president, soldier lady comes up and she's like, oh, militias are doing da-da-da over here, and she's like, well, send soldiers to da-da-da over there, and it just makes your brain go, timeout.
What are they doing?
Like, when you say militia, growing up in the South, militias were predominantly a dude thing, and not and there are female militias in the comic, and not the wives of those people I say the wives just because honestly it's typically those communities that have militias, not all of them, but a lot of the ones that I know about are man is head of the household. That's the way the households run. So you just have questions about, like, what is this militia? What is its goal? When you say militia in this context, what does that mean? And also when you say just send soldiers, like throughout the episode, we see soldiers on tanks trying to corral citizens. We see soldiers at gates. We see whatever. And if you look it up, only 20% of the United States' military is women. So if everything with a Y chromosome dies, 80% of your military force is gone. And the show doesn't engage with that in any meaningful way. Hmm. You know what I mean? And it's I will say it is also like, it is a little tough, and this isn't the show's fault. It's baked in, but it is, when Thanos snaps his fingers and 50% of people go, I mean, we're in a world where a guy swings through the city on webs and there's a guy in dressed like the American flag. You're like, okay, we roll with it. When you try to engage with the premise that like 50% of everybody just died in a more realistic setting, it becomes a little more challenging to be like, wait, how is anything working? Like Leftovers is built around the idea that like 10% of people disappear and everything just kind of like goes out of whack. Like 50% of people go, like, what the fuck?
I think Leftovers is 3% or 2%.
It's a small number. And even that is like, it fucks up everything. I mean, we're living through what we're living through right now affects the COVID is deadly to roughly give or take 10% of people. And that's ground our entire, it's, you know what I mean? It's made things really challenging. So like 50% of people immediately just drop dead.
It's made things really challenging. That's one way to put it for sure.
I mean, but I guess to a degree, I mean, we're still doing our jobs, like, but it's still like, shit show.
It's made things challenging.
But like 50% of people just drop dead immediately. Like that's a big deal. But again, that's part of the comic too. It's whatever. So I will say the first episode is the roughest. For me, it felt the longest and the most fillery. But as the show progresses, I felt like it gets better because it gets more into the premise. And then there's little moments of specificity. Like there's a scene where Diane Lane's character over the phone has to convince a woman that it was the only woman working at this nuclear power plant to like go back into work because we need that power plant. And you're literally the only person left that worked there. And it's like more of that specificity of the situation, I think would make the show feel as special as its pedigree makes you want it to be. It's not the show's fault that it took so long for this adaptation to happen. It's not the show's fault. I mean, it is kind of the show's fault that it's based off of a really beloved comic. But to live up to that, you've got to really like, you've got to feel less like a just kind of like a Walking Dead knockoff without the zombies, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But I think we'll see.
I might like it.
I was thinking, because you like Walking Dead so much, but you're on the record for liking Walking Dead because you like zombies.
I know.
This doesn't have the zombies. I there's a lot to like here. I specifically
do like zombies, DJ.
Not only is the cast really good, overall, but I really want to point out Ashley Romans, who plays Agent 355, who is easily the standout character. She works for a secret organization called the Culper Ring, and so she inadvertently, because of everything goes on, kind of become the Diane Lane's like right hand woman, and she's fucking great. Like she's just really cool. So I was very not on board with the first episode. Having watched the next two, I am now probably going to keep up with the series and see where it goes from here. And they've set up some interesting things, and there's some themes that the comic kind of brushes over that the show is engaging with more. And I believe the showrunner is a woman. And I think that's really good for this, everything that this show is tackling. And I'm interested to see how they engage with the source material going on. I do hope they kind of like there's a whole subplot with like a woman and her child that's basically there like, man, doesn't the apocalypse suck? And it's like, yeah, how many of these shows we know the apocalypse, why are we spending time with this person? Like not contributing to the plot. It's just there to say like things are sad, and it's like we know half of the people have died. Like I get it. So hopefully a little less of that, a little more of the specific character driven, world based stuff. So those are my thoughts on Malignant and Why the Last Man. Let me, for those playing at home, playing the home game, let me know what you think. Danny M says, I have read the comic of Why the Last Man. I don't know how well the comics hold up. The show is interesting moments, but I agree with DJ. It's focusing on some of the less interesting ideas in the comic. There's literally a whole subplot. York has a pet capuchin monkey. It's totally CGI and super noticeable on the show, but whatever. I'm not going to get on the show for that. But there's a whole subplot in an episode where, York's monkey ran away and York's sad about it. And then eventually the monkey shows back up, and that's the whole subplot. And it's like, oh, this was pointless. This was a big old waste of episode space. Anyway, now we're going to talk about our the Emmys and our favorite shows of the year. But wait, no, we're not going to do that just yet. We're going to do ads. Gosh dang it. So go be a good consumer. and go listen to some ads.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
All right, those were ads. I hope you clicked on the links or visited the sites like the good American you are.
or anywhere else in the world you are.
True.
Or if you happen to be on Mars.
True. Capitalism and consumerism have dominated the globe, as they should.
Yep, that's what I said too, DJ.
Nothing bad has ever come from that. We are not currently living in the consequences of such behavior. Go click on the links and listen to the ads.
Always on the same page.
So now, Roxy, before we get into our favorite shows of 2021, the Emmys are happening this weekend or in the past, depending on when you're listening to this episode. And I feel like time is fluid. I feel like we've talked about it when the announcements happened. But before we get into our favorite shows, what did you think of the Emmys last night?
I thought that they were inspirational.
Yeah.
Revealing. Mm-hmm. There were, more specifically though, DJ, there were speeches.
Yes. Yes.
And winners. And unfortunately, more losers than winners.
More losers than winners. And then there was that one moment. I don't want to spoil it for the kids at home, but you know the moment, Roxy. I was just blown away.
And that moment made me have feelings of all kinds. That to say what they are would be to diminish the moment.
Yes.
Yes, it would be so that.
So now we have questions from the Discord, which, by the way, if you want to ask questions on the Discord, be a part of our Discord community, you can do that at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. It's a lovely community. And I just revamped all the little spots that you can talk into. So there you go. Leonard Kim asks, is there a show that you believe should have been nominated? And is there a show that you believe may not have necessarily deserved its nomination?
Yeah, I think that Emily in Paris is a weird effing show to be nominated. I also think that about Flight Attendant, although Flight Attendant a little less so. And I think both those shows were good shows. They were fine shows. I binged both. I love both. But to be nominated for an Emmy, that's Wolf City for me.
Yeah.
How about you, DJ?
Again, it's a little tough for me. Just like when we talk about our favorites of 2021, it's a little tough because like trying to think of when stuff dropped where. I totally agree. I totally agree with your Emily in Paris point, with the caveat that I haven't watched it. I agree with it based on the conversation I've heard around. It's like, yeah, that makes sense for a show that shouldn't be nominated. I'm trying to think of show, like, if we're nominating WandaVision for stuff, I'm a little surprised we didn't nominate Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Me too, DJ. I think that Falcon and Winter Soldier was definitely of low-key WandaVision, and that show was definitely the best show and the most Emmy type show.
You're talking about Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
You know, I've heard a lot of, you and I are on the same page on this, but I've heard a lot of conversation with people like dunking on Falcon and Winter Soldier. Like, it feels weird. Like the Marvel shows are like a Rorschach test for people. Like everybody looks at these shows and like comes away with like different feelings about them.
Totally. Not strange to me because it's a like poignant, really well done, are the biggest of the character. I'm not understanding why people didn't like this show. I love this show.
Yeah, and I also feel like of the show, and again, I enjoyed all of them, but I like of the shows we've gotten so far, I feel like it did a better job exploring, understanding its purpose and exploring its core themes. And again, not that I didn't have issues with the finale of it, but like overall, it felt the most cohesive of the shows. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. A lot of the shows that I really loved have now been coming back this year as opposed to last year. So I don't know if there's anything we talked about the stuff. I guess that's it. The answer is Emily in Paris and Falcon and Winter Soldier. I'm surprised wasn't nominated. Speaking of Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision, STS 2084, do the superhero shows have a real shot at winning Emmys?
I think in general, superhero shows do have a good shot at winning Emmys when they're a show like Watchmen. Mm-hmm. I think this particular year, I don't think they have a good shot of winning Emmys because I don't think WandaVision should win Emmys.
Didn't WandaVision already win something?
Like an effect kind of thing?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Did it?
Hold on.
You tell me, DJ.
Agatha All Along from WandaVision scores an Emmy Award win.
For what? Best episode or something?
Funniest. No, okay. It won Outstanding Original Music and Lyrics. Is the Creative Arts Emmys. It's one of the ones that they drop earlier. Like, ooh, Creative Arts, boo. We don't want that in our main show.
Wow, that one for music and lyrics?
Was Hamilton? I guess Hamilton was an original. It was not made for the TV special.
What about Schmigadoon?
Schmigadoon drop? Did it drop this year?
Yeah, it dropped like a month ago.
So maybe that's an option. I mean, I like that song. I do have some frustrations with it because narratively it was confusing. But
you're talking about Agatha All Along.
Agatha All Along. It's like, because it wasn't Agatha All Along. She showed up after Wanda had already done her stuff, but whatever. But good. Listen, it's a fun, catchy, earwarmer song, so good for them. Ryan McCoy asks, we have heard for years that voters don't actually watch all of what they're supposed to before judging categories. How do you think we could fix that? In what ways would you like to see them improve the Emmys?
Well, if we really wanted to fix that, everything would be digital and they would have to at least it would have to play all the way through. And you would have to be able to see that it played all the way through. Now, can you guarantee that somebody watched it? No, because I just don't think there's a world in which you get everybody to come in for every viewing.
Also, this might be controversial. Doesn't matter if they did. I mean, I know they're voting on it, but it's not like, I mean, like,
it,
that's
DJ, it's, to me, it really does.
Okay. All right.
To me,
fair enough.
It really does because of all the award shows, the Emmys are my favorite. I love the Emmys. But the thing is, I know for a fact, as do you, that they do not watch all of them.
No.
Because there's so much to watch. It's not like the Oscars, where when you're watching a movie, you watch the movie and you're done. Not only do you have to watch the season, but if it's a narrative piece, you probably have to watch previous seasons to understand or respect or appreciate all of it.
Yeah.
And so it is really hard. And Emmys are often given to the most popular show because the less popular shows are not being watched, as opposed to the Oscars, where I don't feel like it's always the most popular movie that wins.
Yeah.
The Emmys, it usually is. And that sucks because for somebody like me, who is a diehard TV fan, you know, TV before movies, 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
I watch every show that's nominated for an Emmy, every episode of it. And they almost never get it right because they're not watching them.
Well, and I guess
it's frustrating.
If you're able to watch all these shows, and also it's like, they're given an app, like when you're trying to get nominated for an Emmy, you submit a specific episode.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to watch the whole series.
They should, but they should at least watch the freaking episode. Like at least know
at
what
least
the
watch
show.
The episode. Yeah.
But I have friends who vote and they're like, yeah, but I didn't see these two shows. And I'm like, I think that's really wrong.
Yeah.
I think that's really wrong. They're like, but I hear that these are the two weakest ones. Hear that from who? The other people who didn't watch it?
Yeah. That's a good point. I mean, as somebody who was a fan of The Americans and all the times that they didn't win anything.
Same with Leftovers.
Yeah.
And those were two of the best shows of the last decade by far. Yeah. And like, they continue to not support the best shows. And it really makes a difference. And so as a creator, as you are too, DJ, I would just hope that if I ever had a show and then that show ever did well, but well enough to be on TV, but was not blowing up, that somebody would actually watch it and give it the time. Like, think about, this is why things like last season, Schitt's Creek, which had been on for years, never nominated, all of a sudden becomes popular and wins every single award.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that was the only good season of that show?
Yeah.
That all of a sudden the show just, after 6 years or whatever, it turned good? No, it was because nobody was watching it. And like, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And it does happen with the movies too, but not as much as with TV.
And on that note as well, talking about shows that should have been nominated, The Expanse. If we're nominating stuff like WandaVision and The Flight Attendant.
You love this. I've never seen it.
The Expanse is definitely, I feel safe in saying, is the best sci-fi show on TV. It might be one of the best sci-fi shows in the last decade or whatever. It's just really smart and intelligently written. And it's just for people that like enjoy Game of Thrones, but also enjoy sci-fi, and also maybe thought Game of Thrones maybe invested too much in the sprawl, into the spreading of things out. Mm-hmm. The Expanse is the perfect antidote to that because it's perfectly balanced. It follows a bunch of different characters, but it doesn't get too wide that there's no way that it can close its narrative. Each season, because it's based on a series of books, each season tells its own concise story while connecting to the previous seasons. Like it just does all the things that you want these shows to do, but because it's not Game of Thrones or whatever, it's not even getting nominated. And it's like, it's not even getting nominated? Like, that's bananas.
It's wrong. Yeah, it's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
And I think that's one of the things that, like, it's, and again, this is not, I've enjoyed WandaVision and Loki and Falcon and Winter Soldier and all of them, but it is also one of those, like, they're nominated. And Mandalorian, it's like, they're nominated because everybody's talking about them. Yeah. I don't know that they're, like, the best shows. I enjoy them. I like them. I'm willing to entertain the idea that they might be some of the best shows on TV, but like,
why is Emily in Paris? You're going to tell me that Emily in Paris is nominated because it is the best show.
Anyway, so those are our nothing. That's the Emmy thoughts, Emmy questions. But listen, forget about the Emmys. We live in 2021, and there are a lot of good shows on, and we want to talk about those. Roxy, you recommended this last week, and I forced you to talk about Titans. So this week, we're going to be talking about our favorite shows. We got some thoughts here from STS2084. They're loving all of the Marvel shows we've gotten so far. Bad Batch was also good. But he's hoping Book of Boba Fett closes the year. Close of the year strong. Boiler Huff, favorite shows of 2021 so far. All the MCU shows. Bad Batch, Mayor of Easttown. Also, while not new, caught up on Ted Lasso. They caught up on Ted Lasso season one, and they are looking forward to season two. Finio says Mayor of Easttown, and Leonard Kim says favorite shows this year: Home Economics, Shadow and Bone, Lucifer, Outer Banks, Mighty Ducks, Game Changers, Big Shot, F-Boy Island, Dave, Mythic Quest, Trying, Ted Lasso, The Bachelor shows, the MCU shows, minus What If. It unfortunately isn't doing it for me. Leonard Kim, What If the best one?
I get it.
So Roxy, I even blacked mine out so that you wouldn't be spoiled for my favorite shows.
I was wondering
what
was blacked out there.
I wanted to surprise you. I don't know what I wanted to do. By the way,
just briefly, as I was looking up when the dates of the things were, when do you think that Rami was?
Rami was 2020, right?
Yeah, it was. I thought that was this year. I don't know how I missed that. Unrelated to that, though, Rami very clearly should have been nominated for an Emmy then.
Oh my God, you are so right. You were so right. I was actually thinking about Rami for this too. And also, just while we're on the subject, props to Rami for not making Rami the character also a comedian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think there's a lot of merit in just letting your dude be, or chick, or whoever your protagonist is, even if this show is clearly based around you and your comic persona, just having them be a person.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, as opposed to what Dave did. But yes, Rami is a show. I mean, the fact that that's not nominated every year, it is definitely one of the best comedies.
And well, that's interesting too. I wanted to, this is a good segue into one of my hands down favorite shows. It's currently airing. It's Reservation Dogs on FX.
Ooh, I hear really good things, DJ, but I don't watch it.
I cannot recommend it enough. I will say, and the reason I'm talking about it at this part of the conversation, and for those that don't know, is created by, is produced by Taika Waititi and Sterling Harjo, I think is how you pronounce their last name, who is the showrunner and lead writer. And I bring it up because it is technically, it's billed as a comedy. It's technically a dramedy, but especially the last couple episodes they've been dramas. They've been dramas with some funny moments. So for you as somebody that kind of like, I mean, obviously you're watching The Morning Show, you do a lot of balance of stuff, but I know you've also really enjoyed with these times, like escape stuff. Reservation Dogs isn't necessarily that. It is often fucking hilarious and the characters are great. And it's just a really cool world. I say that like it's a fictional world. It's a reservation in Oklahoma. It's based off the creator's own life. Like it's a world people live in. But it's a world that we don't experience on TV. But it's also not very like escapist. Some of the episodes specifically, like the episode that aired the week of this recording, with Bill Burr making an incredible cameo.
Really?
Yeah. The way they've used, like Bobby Lee shows up, the way they use like different cameos is expert. Like Bill Burr plays, like even in Mandalorian, Bill Burr plays like a Bill Burr type. Not in this. Like this is the first time I've watched Bill Burr, so I'm like, oh, he's fucking acting. He's playing a character.
That's cool.
But again, it's just a cameo. Actors like Zahn McLaren, who you might have seen in Fargo or Dr. Sleep, or he's in Bone Tomahawk and West Study. These more well recognized Native American actors, indigenous actors, show up in roles. And it's interesting because when I think about like West Study was the one that blew me away. Like he shows up in an episode, and I'm like, is that West Study? Because you're used to seeing him being like the noble warrior, you know what I mean? The role we cast Native American actors in, like that role. And in this, he's just a dude. He's just kind of like a fuck up dude. They run into him sleeping on a bench and he's just kind of like scheming. And I think that's the beauty of this show is that like, and Rami's another great example. Like these actors, like if you look up most of the supporting characters in Rami, what have they mostly played? Fucking terrorists. Because they're Middle Eastern. And in Rami, they just get to be fucking people because they are. And similar with Reservation Dogs and just any show that like can really capture that balance of like the kind of the humor and kind of the outlandishness of everyday life with the drama aspects and the way it balances. Like Reservation Dogs is blowing me away. So that is definitely like one of my favorite shows this year.
I don't know how to do this, DJ.
But do you want to just rattle off the list? Do you want to? I know I spent a lot of time on one of my shows.
I know. I was like, if I go in like that on all of mine, we'll be here for four more years.
Okay, go through it. And if something like, if you want to say something or, because I'm imagining a lot of the shows on my list will also be on your list. So we can go off of it like that. So let's dive into yours.
Okay. Making this list for somebody like me who watches like, more than 100 shows a year.
Oh my God.
is really hard because it's hard to differentiate between my favorite shows and the best shows. Cause sometimes those are different. Like, what's not making my list is like Big Brother's not making my list. Island's not making my list. The shows that Bachelor in Paradise, the shows that I make you listen to me talk about, not making my list.
You love them. You enjoy them. There's merit to them, but are they the best shows on TV? Like when?
Right. Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's hard. And then there are shows that I'm like, while that show was really hard to get through, it is definitely the best. Mm-hmm. It's so good. So like, because of that, a couple of non-scripted shows that I had on my list were Alan B. Farrow, which they did such an incredible job of breaking down that story that like, I have to give them credit where credit is due as a show and diving into the Alan B. Farrow, obviously talking about the Mia Farrow, Woody Allen show that came out. It was the way that it was really, really well done.
I also think that about Framing Britney Spears, by the way. They both those shows did an amazing job. But then for shows that like I just loved, couldn't have talked to you enough about this. I credit you for me watching this in the first place. Mighty Ducks Game Changers. Yeah. Oh my God, DJ. So good. So good. Family friendly. White Lotus, you turned me on to.
That White Lotus is on my list as well.
Yeah. Has to be because of the way that it's made. You can't see Jennifer Coolidge in that show and think that anybody else
so fucking should, funny.
Whenever she, whatever year she gets to be nominated, it's her.
Yeah. So it's her. Fucking funny. And just, yeah, the writing on the show and all the performances and how they can make these people that are really easy to hate, but also it does a good job. It does a lot of things, but with a lot of those characters, it does a good job of showing how privilege kind of cages you in a toxic mindset that like you can't see out of.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. And even when you're not trying to be a bad person or make the wrong choices, you actually don't have the tools in your tool set to do the right thing sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you are so tunnel vision.
Because Sydney Sweeney's character like is saying all the stuff that we say on social media all the time, but it's from that like privileged person. Like she's still a part of this system. She talks like she's outside of it, but she's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Another show that I love, the Mindy Kaling produced show, Never Have I Ever. Mm-hmm. They did a great second season this year. So I feel like that kind of goes more in the Mighty Ducks category where like I'll skews a little younger. But if you're looking to these coming of age shows, I really appreciate Mayor of Easttown, which I told you is kind of like a True Detective of this time.
Yeah. And that was a lot of on our Discord people. A lot of people were bringing that up as well.
Yeah. Really, really strong. From beginning to end, I know some people didn't like the ending, but for me, they stuck the landing. Something that's going to be on everybody's list, I think, Ted Lasso, once you get on Apple Plus, might be on yours too.
I imagine it would be, because it's from the same guy that did Scrubs, right? Showrunner?
Is that true?
I think it might be, and I like, I can't just say that and then like move on and say, hey, hey, hey. I'll look it up. Keep going.
The reason that I'm not sure, DJ, I know you'll like this show. Baseline, at least you'll like it.
Yeah.
The reason I'm not sure how much you'll love it is because this show is actually and I almost debated putting it on my list because it is one of my absolute favorite shows and it couldn't come at a better time with it being like the worst time of our lives right now and this being a feel-good moment and this being a feel-good show. But this show doesn't reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
It's not the most like daring roles or storylines. It's just so sweet and well and just well put together and packaged that it would be impossible to hate, but I don't know that you'll be like, that's one of the best shows I've ever seen.
I have high hopes because I just looked it up. Bill Lawrence is a producer on it and he did Scrubs and I love Scrubs. And when people talk about the positive vibes, I think Parks and Rec, which is another one of my favorite shows ever. My only concern is that we're now two seasons in of hype. And so it's like, it's a lot to live up to when you're just coming in.
So while I love this show is not close to as funny as Scrubs or Parks and Rec.
Okay.
It is a comedy that is more like a feel good comedy. It is not like a ha 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 ha. Yeah. It's funny, but it's not that funny. It's just really beautiful.
Got it.
Sweet. So that's on my list. Something that I bet's on your list too, DJ. Pose.
100%.
We'll see how that does this year at the Emmys. I think that it's nominated for a few different things.
Yeah, it's nominated for, I think Billy Porter's nominated again. MJ,
I think it's nominated too. It's
nominated for Outstanding Drama Series. Billy Porter, Outstanding Lead Actor. And then MJ Rodriguez, an Outstanding Lead Actress. And if I'm being honest, I've all of the above. you give them all of the above.
I agree. I'm hoping that this kind of has its Schitt's Creek moment where finally Pose is like, Billy Porter's been recognized before, but I'm hoping that MJ's recognized, Pose is recognized, and Billy's recognized again.
Why? It does all the things. Like, what are you?
What else are you looking for?
Yeah, like it does all the things.
It's really good. So that Mythic Quest, which I talked your ear about last week, Schmigadoon actually officially like,
boom.
Oh my God, boom. Handmaid's Tale, which we've talked about too, the most depressing show on TV, but God, is it well done. Mm-hmm. Kaminsky Method.
Yeah, this you talked about show. This too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I always pair that with Grace and Frankie, which also there's only been four episodes of this year, but they've been four great episodes. So those two shows, any show that I feel like I could watch with Grammy and she loves, it does a whole different thing for me. So those absolutely. Are both great.
And it's also good to let actors, like, I know there was some a tweet going around yesterday. I was like, oh, it's unbelievable that Clint Eastwood at 90 something is like directing and starring in Cry Macho.
Yeah.
And it's one of those that's like, people were giving shit for that comment. I was like, I do think it's a little ridiculous that, I mean, maybe Clint Eastwood should take a break, but
why were people giving shit for that comment?
Because it's the people making fun of like, oh yeah, whatever that it's, because the comment is basically like, I don't, maybe I'm misinterpreting the situation. The comment's basically like, he's too old to be doing this shit, or that like we should, you can stop at a certain point. And I broadly agree with that. Uncle, it's like, come on, man. You're,
oh, I hear you.
I always think about that baby in American Sniper. Like, yeah, I think you could take a break, guy.
But then it's, at the same time, but when, think Betty about, White, let's go.
But see, Betty White doesn't like, she just gets to be an icon. Like Clint Eastwood would just be the icon now. Go do your chair bit at the RNC. but that said, with like Kominsky Method and Grace and Frankie, it's also a good opportunity for older actors, because the older actors don't, especially when I think Grace and Frankie, older women actresses don't get the opportunity to do stuff. And so that's another, I have my critiques of Netflix and their algorithm based system, but the fact that they're doing everything allows opportunities for these shows to exist.
Totally.
And who's exactly. the it's in Kominsky Method,
Alan Arkin and Martin
Sheen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which who's or OG Ant-Man, right? Or am I mixing my metaphors?
No, I think that's right.
I don't want to mess it up. I feel pretty confident about it, but I don't want to mess it up. No, we're not Martin Sheen. What are we doing? Martin Sheen is the part of, we're thinking of...
What's his name?
Oh my God. We're messing up, Roxy. We've got too many things on our
Michael
brain.
Michael Douglas.
That's what we're doing. Michael Douglas, which, by the way,
that was
Roxy.
Tough. That was a tough moment for me.
It's a tough moment for me as well. I messed up as well. Also, Roxy, you're not watching What If, but two universes now. Hank Pym, Michael Douglas as Hank Pym, has really fucked things up for everybody.
God damn, Michael Douglas.
My takeaway from What If is you stop by a different universe. It's like, oh, okay, so Hank Pym's a problem. And also, oh, because you didn't watch the zombie episode. Not WandaVision shows that Wanda's a problem. Vision is all, in the right circumstance, Vision is also a problem.
Yeah, you told me he's an issue.
Yeah,
he's
he does some, you haven't, in the zombie episode, you find out that he's basically been capturing people and feeding them to zombie Wanda.
Zombie Wanda.
Yeah, and it's like, oh yeah, you two are a mess. anyway.
A couple more on here. Dave, which I forced DJ to watch.
I'm glad you did. I know we just, again, we talked about Rami in comparison to it, and I think Rami's choice of not having him be a comedian was strong. That said, Dave as a show makes a lot of really strong choices and has really standout episodes on both the drama side and the comedy side. Again, with him, that episode with him and Benny Blanco is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and has Gaeta, and that matters to us. And mm-hmm. Shameless, I like the final season a lot. And This Is Us, which again, like sultry sweet, but also decided to tackle a lot of big movements this year. Like they talk about because Sterling K. Brown is one of the lead characters of the siblings and the other two siblings are white. They actually start addressing things that viewers have been wondering for a long time. Like, why don't they ever talk about how Sterling K. Brown characters feels about having two white siblings and two white parents and being adopted as a black kid? Like, they're just so many things that they have not talked about that they started addressing on the show, and also address COVID, and COVID and pregnancies and COVID and family and COVID and Alzheimer's and COVID. And they, I think that they did a really good job implementing it into the show. So for that reason, I also put that on my list.
Yeah. Was this the season where the twist of like in the future character that we want to be with this person isn't with that person, and we
been like a lot of seasons, DJ.
Oh, okay. I just didn't know if we followed up on that. Was the last thing I remember you saying, and I didn't know if we
followed up. Yeah, no, that was this season, but it's happened many times.
Okay,
keep tearing our heart out. And then the rest of my shows that I really like wanted to talk about for Emmys that weren't this year. Pen 15, I May Destroy You, Succession, which is coming back. Rami, Yeah, those are some of the main ones. Dead to me.
For some reason, and I think it was... Okay, so I May Destroy You was nominated for Outstanding Limited Series.
And Michaela must have been nominated.
Yes, for Lead Actress in a Limited Series or Movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Ooh, I apologize. I'm going to mispronounce his name. Pepa Esiedu. I'm so sorry. Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Limited Series or Movie.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes you just gotta muscle through. I'm sorry. cool. So those were Roxy's, the Pantheon.
A lot of them. I have more, but that's a lot of them.
Well, give me one more. That didn't make the top cut.
Doesn't make the top cut, but. Well, I don't know about what's going to happen with Sex Education, but so far it's really great.
Cool.
This season. And same thing with Morning Show. You said give me one, but I give you multiple.
Boom.
And Falcon the Winter Soldier and Cobra Kai as like kind of ancillary picks are on here.
Enjoyed. Fun. Loved them.
Yeah. I actually don't even know if Cobra Kai was this year.
Yes. The third season. Or was it 2020? Oh, I think it might have been like December of 2020. Oh, who the fuck knows?
Well, then Mandalorian, if we're doing December 2020, like in that category of off.
Yeah, and then Mandalorian got nominated for a lot of stuff. So for me, some stuff that I'd like to mention that you didn't mention are actually two Taika Waititi joints. One is What We Do in the Shadows, which I just caught up with this year, but also the third season's dropping now, and so far so good. What We Do in the Shadows is hilarious. It's great. I love the movie. I love the show. But also spinning out of the same universe. So What We Do in the Shadows is connected to the movie. But also, if you've seen the original movie, there's these two cops that show up.
I've seen the movie and the show.
Yeah, so in the two cops show up to investigate their friend by getting accident of sunlight. Those cops have a spinoff show in New Zealand called Wellington Paranormal.
I did not know that, DJ. Where is that show live?
So it's on HBO Max. This is a bit of a cheat because the show, I think it started in 2018, but it just dropped on HBO Max this year. So Americans, for ease of access of Americans, it just started airing in America this year, and it is fucking hilarious. So each episode is a different paranormal thing in New Zealand that these bumbling cops incompetently try to handle, and it's fucking hilarious. It's something, and I don't know if it's a specific New Zealand type of humor or just these group of creators like Taika Waititi, Jemaine Clement, you know what I mean, that the Flight of the Conchords crew that have come over to America, their specific brand of humor, but it's great. And what's so funny is that obviously characters from the movie have shown up in What We Do in the Shadows of the show. The characters that haven't shown up in What We Do in the Shadows, some of them show up in Wellington Paranormal. Like the guy that they accidentally turn in the movie, that's kind of a douchebag, he shows up in Wellington Paranormal in an episode.
That's amazing.
So it's all connected. They're all part of the same universe.
Is it as good as What We Do in the Shadows, the show?
Yes, but for different reasons. It's much more of that like deadpan. It's much more New Zealand than What We Do in the Shadows, the show, is, which takes a lot of those things and Americanizes it in a lot of ways, even though a lot of the humor stays the same. So it's much more deadpan, much drier, but it's fucking great. I think we're in the middle. Both season one and two are dropped on HBO this year, so I think we're in the middle of season two. But if you haven't checked that out, highly recommend it. Super funny. The cast is really good. And then more fun stuff. I've really enjoyed What If, obviously Falcon and Winter Soldier. And I also really enjoyed The Bad Batch. Star Wars Visions would 100% be on this list. But again, I'm not allowed to review it yet. So this is just a stray comment, not a review.
Yep.
Not a full review. Although watch that shit when it drops. So yeah. Those are the best shows of the 2021 so far. So far. Kayla Marie,
we still got time.
Kayla Marie says top picks: Ted Lasso, Queen's Gambit. Although I think that was last year. Sorry, I May Destroy You.
Also last year.
We're Here. I don't know what that is. Mythic Quest, Marvel Shows, and the Boys.
I feel like, is We're Here a Paul Rudd thing?
Oh, it might be the one where he's like cloned or something.
I don't know. I like that show, but I don't think that's what it was called. What's work here? I'll look it up.
Leonard Kim wants to add Nine Perfect Strangers, the other two, Stargirl, and Only Murders in the Building. Glenn Caesar, Power, Raising Kanan, Heels, The Bad Batch, What If, Falcon and Winter Soldier, Cobra Kai, and The Mandalorian 2. So a lot of... Oh! Danium says, copy, paste Kayla Marie's list for me, and add Rick and Morty.
Drag queen, renowned drag queens, Bob the Drag Queen, Eureka, and Shangela will inspire and teach their own drag daughters to step outside their comfort zone for a night of no holds barred full on drag.
Cool. I think that's on HBO Max.
I don't know. Yes, it says watch on HBO.
I will say, Danian brought up Rick and Morty. I might talk about it on the show at some point. This season, I'm a fan of Rick and Morty. This season was a big old woof for me for most of it. Except the last three episodes. The last three episodes, like, almost single-handedly, like, rescued the rest of the season from being just kind of, like, not bad, but just kind of feeling like a middle-of-the-road Family Guy type humor. Whereas the last three episodes really bring back, because I think what makes Rick and Morty work is this general sense of pathos and Rick's own self-loathing. Like, you need to have that, like, that dose of bleakness to make the show not be kind of, like, just too self-involved. So those last three episodes really, really brought that in a powerful way. So I like those three episodes a lot. And the first episode was good. And the other ones were kind of all over the place. So now those are our best shows of 2021. Roxy, any final thoughts for those at home?
Just cannot believe how much incredible television is on now. Like, yeah. As I was making this list, I was like, wow, my 10-year-old wants to work in television, obsessed with TV, watching all my children, General Hospital self, is like flipping out over the amount of different types of shows. Like, I can't believe it. And it's such a cool time. If we're going to have to be stuck at home in a pandemic, thank God we have TV.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of good options. And I'll also say I can't mention these shows because they didn't come out this year, but they're both on HBO Max, Warrior and also The Nick. And I will talk about The Nick on one of these shows, but I just started watching that. It was a Cinemax show starring Clive Owen. It is fucking great. But that's for another time. Roxy, remind the kids at home where they can find you.
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer. We got a lot of stuff going on in the World Girls in the next couple of weeks, where Doreena's going out of town to go to Fantastic Fest. I know that you've been there before.
DJ. Is this her first time? Has she been before?
No, she's been before. She loves it there.
We never ran into her when we were there, but good for her. I'm glad she's going.
And so Steph and I are doing things that we would not do with D. Like having a basic bitch show. I'll explain all of that and more over on the World Girls. So check us out.
Go check that out.
Wednesdays and Sundays. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That sounds awesome. You can find me at DJ Talks Trash. Update on Hellbent. It's going to be going to the printers. Boom. It's going to the printers next week.
Yes.
And I will keep you all updated. I've been hearing some not great news on supply chain stuff, just generally.
COVID wise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have some concerns about that, but I'll keep you all updated, but it's the comic itself is complete. It is going to the printers, and I'll keep you all updated on that. You can find me for updates on that and more at DJ Talks Trash. You can find the show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter.
You ain't got the vowels from stupid.
That is it for this week, and we'll see y'all next time, everybody. Bye.
Bye.